Hi, welcome to the Dan Bradbury podcast, where turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. In this podcast, I'll bring you resources, tips, interviews, and lots more to help to grow your business and make it less dependent on you.
Hi, welcome to the Dan Bradbury podcast. I'm Topher Morrison, your guest host, along with very special co-host, Macy May. The reason why she's on camera is because today's theme is all about dogs. I'm going to be interviewing the final contestant for The Ultimate Entrepreneur coming up June 21st and 22nd. Her name is Lisa Carson. She's with Dynamic Dogs Limited. We're going to be talking about her her business and how she's successfully grown it successfully over the pandemic and how she was able to help people get connected with amazing dogs, like kind of like Macy here, although she doesn't specialize in Macy's breed. She specializes in, you'll have to watch the podcast to find out, but some beautiful Labradoodles. Anyway, without further ado, let's welcome to the show Lisa Carson with Dynamic Dogs Limited. Lisa, welcome to the Dan Bradbury podcast. I will tell you, out of all of the contestants, I'm going to say, and I don't mind throwing this out there, you're my favorite. And it's not because of you necessarily, and I'm sure you're used to this. It's because of that damn creature licking your ear right now. Aww. It's the cuteness of animals. I've been stoked waiting for this interview for weeks now because I just want to hang out with dogs. And you might have to rein me in and remind me that we're actually here to talk about your business, not so much about the cuteness. But tell me, who is your co-star right now? What's that cutie's name?
This is Benji. Benji is a little Australian cobber dog who hopefully will be a service dog or an assistance dog in the future.
Benji
is one that
is
we've got our eye on. He's a chocolate male, so he's quite an unusual color, and he's got the most beautiful gray eyes. If you can see it there.
Yes, he's a charmer. Well, just so you'll know, I'm going to break so many rules on this interview. I'm going to go off camera and everything else. I too have a co-host here to help us out today. Just woke her up from a nap, but this is mine.
Wow.
This is Macy.
What, Benji, look.
Yeah, Macy. Hi, look, see, hi, Benji. There you go.
I'm just getting kisses, I'm afraid, from Benji. It's not.
Yeah. Mine's clearly like, dude, you just woke me up from a nap. I want to just fall asleep. So I don't know how long she'll stay on the call here. She's probably going to be ready to go back down any second. But this is already going to get way more views than any other interview simply because of the dogs. And I'm going to have dog hair all over my jacket, and I don't care. I'm good with this. I have been such a proponent of animals. I'll tell you real quickly, because this is why I love what you do, by the way, because it's not just about putting puppies in homes for you. It's about putting the right service. It's almost like a service more than it is a product. I suffered from depression for almost a decade. I never, ever wanted to do medication or whatever. And that's fine for people who do that. But it was just for me, I never wanted to be a medication kind of guy. And I just couldn't quite crack it. And finally, I did two things. Number one is I adopted Macy 7 years ago. And I started reading every day. And those two things just pulled me out of my dark space. She's like, I want to go take a nap. All right, go take a nap.
Did you have a childhood dog?
I did, yes. In fact, I had a couple. I had my main one. I did not name her, by the way, before I tell you what her name was. But her name was Snooky. She was a little chihuahua. I didn't name her. And then she was kind of my major dog for the most of my formative years as a child. And then later in my teens, I inherited my grandpa's dog, Shorty, that was a Pomeranian. So I've had dogs my whole life. And then, you know, my adult life, I traveled around speaking. And so I never really could have one. And then it was, about 7-8 years ago where my schedule kind of slowed down a little bit. And I thought, okay, now's the time I want to go in. And she has brought me so much joy. And that's really what, like, you don't sell dogs. You sell joy. You sell happiness,
joy,
right?
Joy and peace of mind, I think, in that when they have a dog from us, that they're getting one that's from health screen parents, all the genetic tests have been done. Everything's been done properly rather than just going to Gumtree and buying a dog, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the real differential.
Yeah, let's talk about that, right? So let's talk about Dynamic Dogs, which is the name of your company, although people probably know you more as Lisa Labradoodle. And by the way, if you want to go check out Lisa and all of her beautiful puppies, you can go to labradoodles.co.uk. So labradoodles.co.uk. Check out all the available cute puppies that she have. And I want to talk about a couple of things, but first let's just start with Dynamic Dogs, the name of your company. What sets you aside? And this is a big one for me because I'm a big adopt, don't shop kind of guy, but I also understand there's a purpose for finding a specific breed that matches a specific need, right? And so I do get that. And you don't sometimes have that flexibility. What differentiates you from the traditional, like people talk about puppy mills where they're just cranking out the puppies and trying to put them in homes. Let's make sure that we really get that out in the open so people understand the difference.
So a puppy mill in my mind is an illegal premise. Obviously there's a licensing regulation. So they're usually unlicensed and they're more interested in churning out puppies. And do you know what I mean? The sale is a sale, isn't it? Rather than an experience where they're getting either a partly trained dog or an export or something. So we like to think of our services as services rather than products. Our product is not a dog. It's the actual service of providing an assistance or emotional support dog or a companion dog to families or putting them into roles within the community that then they can benefit the children that they're meeting. So it is,
By the way, I don't know in the UK, but in the US, the latest scam are puppy mills disguised as adoption clinics. So people feel like they're doing the right thing by adopting a dog when the adoption fees are like $500-$600. And I'm like, man, if you've got that high of an adoption fee, something's already a red flag for an adoption clinic. Maybe, you know, you're buying a specific breed for a need. So I think people are getting a little bit fooled on that. So everything that you do is on the up and up. It's got, you've even written a book about this, right? That talks about the stages and the phases.
We made a system so that families, when they approach us, go through a seven step system to prepare for their first puppy. And we wanted to, it was really important to us that we made a book unlike the other books. So the majority of books, if you go into the bookshop, are all about how to train a dog. Their manuals or breed books. Well, what about the bit that makes you not have a dog? You know, we wanted to make it a pre-puppy planner on the basis that if you've already got the dog, you've already made the decision. And what we wanted to do is put someone through the system. So the first thing we look at in the seven steps is the vision. So we say, what are you trying to achieve here? And then most importantly, the second one, which is our red chapter, looks at the risks. So have you got a child with autism, allergies, asthma? Or do you live on the 10th flight, you know, 10th floor of an apartment, you know, or go to work full time? So all these things should be considered at the start, not at the seventh step, which is actually adopting a dog. Whether you're going through a rescue or buying it or anything, it was really important to me. We think that the books that are out there at the moment are analogous to reading about teenage behavior before you're pregnant. You know, you don't need to learn how to recall a beagle, right? Do you know what I mean? Until you got a puppy and then it's going to be 6 months old. What about all the stuff before you make that decision?
Yeah.
So for us, you know, it's an analogy to a pre-pregnancy you know, book. It's the book you buy before you get a puppy. And, you know, it's you know, if you were trying to get pregnant, you wouldn't read teenage behavior. You'd read about folic acid, ovulations, or find how to find
everything
the perfect
partner,
wouldn't
you? Everything you need to know before you're, I love that. By the way, so first off, brilliant that you have a tool that allows people to understand, even if they should get a dog, right? Because you've also been quite clear that sometimes people shouldn't be getting a dog, right? There are enough red flags that if it adds up, you don't want one. But yet you do have this beautiful mission to make sure that people have access to the right animal, because you don't just crank out Labradoodles. You're helping people get service dogs and emotional support animals. There's so much more that help with disabilities. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, of course. So, but as part of our work with Kevin, our coach, we've been really looking at the vision. And for us, whilst it started as a dog hobby for myself when I was younger, it's really evolved much more into that, where we want to get dogs, copper dogs, into the community. And our way of doing that was to create to the side a non-profit organization where we can impact more lives and more children's mental health with access to dogs, whether it's in the classroom or reading dogs. You know, it's so important to children if they won't read to an adult. One of my daughters is dyslexic, so reading to her dog is the only way I can get her to read out loud. Because that is just hugely important to us, that we can give children access to a dog, but in situations where perhaps their family can't have a dog or can't afford a dog, you know, the gains can still be there to their mental health and their support. And everybody remembers their childhood dog, don't they? You know, so it's, how do we get as many best friends out there as we can, really?
And that's separate from dynamic dogs, which is the adoption process itself and the sale. This is Copper Dogs in the Community, which is allowing you to find ways to get these dogs out into the community. Indeed, by the way, we probably should take a step back. What the heck is a Copper Dog?
It's an Australian breed. It's actually a breed of 3 to 8 different blends in the mix. And it's quite an unusual dog. It's not, I think people think Labradoodles are just Labs and Poodles, don't they? That's the sort of common
crop. That's exactly what I thought they were.
Yeah, of course. But in Australia, about 25 years ago, we've been doing it for 20 years, they blended together 8 different breeds. So it's much more than that. And they're actually going for breed recognition. We were very blessed in the dogs that we brought in from the service programs over in Australia, in Florida, all over the world. We brought the very best of the service programs into the UK in sort of 2003. And then we bred Copper Dog to Copper Dog, and they're actually going for breed recognition over in Australia, which means that all of ours qualify, which is great.
That's really cool. By the way, I was on your site just looking through all the different dogs, and I was like, I had no idea they have all these different styles of Labradoodles, or Copper Dogs now, as you refer to them. And it's just absolutely worth going to check out labradoodles.co.uk if you have a chance. Go check it out. See all the beautiful puppies that she has, and you're absolutely going to love it. Let's talk a little about business, by the way. We probably should do that as well, since this is the Dan Bradbury podcast, and people that listen in are looking for business strategies, growth strategies, and whatnot as well. So you've been, first off, let's kind of get a backdrop here. You've been with the Dan Bradbury Mastermind program for, 2 years or 3 years?
No, it's more than that, actually. I joined, I had 3 years, then a year off, and then I've rejoined. And it's
So it's more. Okay. Yeah. And you took a, by the way, I love this story. This is one of the questions I've been asking all the contestants is, what do you feel it was that you did that enabled you to be qualified as a finalist for the Ultimate Entrepreneur? So let's start with that question. What do you think you've been doing over this past year that put you into the ranks to go, yeah, she should be a finalist? What by your estimation, what do you think you did that's worth the bragging rights?
I think a lot of it is the personal growth that I've experienced as part of the mastermind. So, you know, it's I had to become the leader that I needed to be, really. And for me, I don't like stepping into the limelight very much. I'm a very sort of introverted, personal, private person. And the skills that the mastermind equipped me for allowed me during the COVID to step into that role where I had to become quickly a personal fear of mine is to go on camera, which, you know,
you're doing great.
I'm on camera now. So, you know, I had to create a resource center in a month. And, you know, there were tears involved, you know, the resilience it needed. And I had, it was adapt or die during COVID.
Let's talk about COVID. How do you even survive something like COVID, which allows no human interaction? How do you go about transferring something so personal and so intimate as that love and that bond of a potential, it's not just a dog, right? These are family members. This is something that's as important as adopting a child. How did you bounce around with that?
Yeah, and obviously trust is a huge issue because during COVID, there was a million puppy scams out there. And when Wales shut, and then the premises here shut as well. So we were closed as a country, we were closed as a premise. How do we suddenly pivot from our handovers aren't just here, have a puppy. They are, you know, a very involved process of having a partly trained dog transferred to another person. And we have to make sure that before they go home, they understand the clicker train, they understand the cues, you know, they can understand everything that's going on. And so our handovers were hours and hours long, if not, you know, in some cases a day or half a day. And we had to do that at a distance suddenly. So we had to get that trust built quickly over a distance in an area where suddenly everyone wanted a dog and half the world was getting scams. I mean, there were articles in The Sun, you know, how many thousands. They estimated the puppy scams were worth more in the drug industry during COVID or something ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
It was one of the headlines. Yeah, it was just, and of course, everyone then who approached us is how do we differentiate our website from those that are just spurious puppy scams? And how do you identify a puppy mill from a decent, reputable breeder? And we had to implement all these tactics and try and move to, you know, it's an education process. We wanted everybody that even if they didn't adopt a dog from us, that they walk away with the information needed to avoid the scams. It's very much moving. Our success during COVID was that the idea that we had a product, it was a service, not a product. So it wasn't just buying a dog, it's the entire service. And how do you provide that service at a distance?
Was that when the idea of the book came out, was to be able to kind of have that pre-work already kind of laid out before the
marinated in my head for a while, actually. So I'd approached Georgia probably just before COVID, but we decided that now was the time. I thought it would be a quieter period during COVID, but
let's give some props to Georgia real quick, because Georgia Kirk was the winner of the Ultimate Entrepreneur last year,
and she
is a book coach. So you actually hired the services of the Ultimate Entrepreneur for last year, and now you're a finalist in this year as well. That's really cool, by the way. Talk about full circle. Let's talk a little bit about that. The competition's coming up here June 21st and 22nd. You're going to have 10 minutes to speak to an audience about why you feel you should be the Ultimate Entrepreneur and get a check for £10,000. Tease us a little bit without giving away the whole secret sauce. What are some things that the people that go to that event are going to hear from you that they can apply in their business? Because you've already touched on something that nobody else has. Everybody, when I've asked them questions about, what has the mastermind done for you, that almost without fail, they're like, they've made me financially literate. I thought I knew numbers, but I didn't know my numbers until I hired Dan. And then once I got into that, and you didn't even go there. You were talking about, no, it made me a better leader. It made me, willing to push myself and get on camera and speak. So what are some things that you're going to give the people in the audience?
What we want to, I'm hoping that just to give massive value to the audience, really. My figures are not as impressive as some of the other finalists, but what I really want to do is add value back to the community that gave all that knowledge and skills to me to get through COVID. That's what I really want. And I wanted to, my talk will be on the things that I've learned. So how to make a service from a product. That's hugely important, I think, to the rest of the community, because product, if you have to differentiate on value, on the price, then you've only got a product. If you don't have to do that, then you've got a service, or you've got a strong enough product. And even then, I think turning it into a service is better. So that's one of the lessons I actually learned from one another finalist, actually. So all my lessons I can accredit and thank some of the masterminders too. So I just think it's hugely important to me in that presentation, not to tell you all about me impressive or how good I am, but to give value back to the audience.
I think also, by the way, quick tip for you. Bring puppies. I mean, honestly, who could say no to puppies, right? Pictures. Just hold the puppy and go, as you think about who should get that £10,000 price, just know that this puppy needs a home, just really hit them in their heart, right? Yeah, pull out all the stops, play dirty. It's okay. You can get away with it with a puppy.
That's part of that is we think of the people that come forward as clients, not customers. So it's moving ourselves. How did we differentiate from moving from a customer who just buys a product to a client who we're giving an advisory service to? So we want even people who don't buy from us to recommend us to friends and family. How do you do that? How do we position ourselves such that even during our sales calls, we're not selling at all. It's all about them. The hero of the story is not me. It's not me. Yeah. It's not how wonderful I am. It's how good the dogs are and how we can make a real connection between the dog and the children.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
By the way, we alluded to this. We started to talk a little bit about numbers and then moved into another area. You still have some – you said, my numbers may not be as impressive as some of the other contestants. First off, neither was George's, and she won, right, because she followed a similar strategy about giving value. But your numbers are pretty impressive as well, right? Like, let's not slouch away from that. You've had prior to us getting on camera and doing the interview, we had a little bit of a chat, and we were laughing because you were a client of Dan's. You went through the mastermind and you were a client of his for about 3 years, and then you stopped being a client. What happened?
I did. It was the most expensive lesson I've ever had in my life. In fact, it would have paid for mastermind. We worked out for some 15 years.
So the money I lost revenue. Your revenue dropped 120, 150 grand or something like that.
And plus that's the net. So it just went. Steady increases. In fact, we got to 2.5 times after the third year. And I thought, you know, I've got this.
I don't need them anymore. Yeah.
And then we said, right, we'll have a year off and we'll, you know, we're going to rinse and repeat, in Dan's favorite words, rinse and repeat it. And I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I lost enough money to pay for Mastermind for a number of years. In fact, Mastermind is so important to me now that I've actually signed up my daughter, Grace, who's, you know, she's only, she was 19, I think, when she joined Mastermind. So she's the youngest member. And since she joined us, we've won the quarter twice. Now, I didn't, to put that in perspective, I've been there nearly 5 years and didn't win quarter Mastermind. My daughter joins us, adds her source, and then we get it twice.
There's no better testimonial for Dan right now than to have a client says, I used you for 3 years. I stopped using you. My revenue plummeted. I came back. We had a 2.5 times increase and I liked it so much. I signed up my daughter. Like, that is the ultimate testimonial. That is incredible.
But I think it's recognizing that if we can get the next generation, you know, the millennials to be involved in that journey and learn those skills, because it's like she started a business degree and decided to leave because she was learning more at Dan's than she was on a business degree. So, you know, the actual practical skills you get from a mastermind, being in the right room, is just it's more important than the formal degree, you know. I'm really pro academia. You know, I was a lawyer until into my 30s. So for me, education was really important, but I recognized that in this industry, to be an entrepreneur, you need practical skills, don't you? Not only the financials, but the actual how to support a vision, how to support your staff around you. And I think that's when I joined Mastermind the first time. The growth personally between the moment I joined and to today is just hugely. It's just, I think that's why I'm a finalist, is because I think the people around me recognize that I'm not the person I was when I joined. And had I been that person and COVID hit, I think the outcome would have been very different.
Mm. By the way, mic drop moment right there. Lisa, it's absolutely an honor to finally get to speak with you. And I do hope you bring some dogs to the event, because I'm going to be going through puppy withdrawal because I can't bring Macy on the plane overseas with me. So, you know, for my emotional need, I really do hope you bring a puppy with you. if people want to check you out, they can. Your company is called Dynamic Dogs, but the website is labradoodles.co.uk. And when you go to labradoodles.co.uk, you can not only, look at all of the wonderful puppies that you have available for adoption, but you also can get your book, which talks about whether or not adoption is even a right move for you as well. So they can check that out. And don't forget, you've got your nonprofit called Copper Dogs in the Community, which allows people. So if somebody's sitting here and thinking, man, I may not be qualified for a dog, but I'd love to have my kid get exposed in their school, they can contact you as well. So just go to labradoodles.co.uk. That's plural, labradoodles.co.uk. And you can learn more about Lisa, check out her book, look at some great puppies. And if you want to meet her, you can June 21st and 22nd at the Ultimate Mastermind, at the Ultimate Entrepreneur, at the Success Mastermind with Dan Bradbury. Lisa, it's an honor to meet you. I cannot wait to see you in person, and you better bring a puppy.
Thank you, Topher.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, the interview with Lisa. That was possibly the most entertaining interview that I've had so far. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased. Definitely my favorite guest so far. Well, the dogs are for sure. Listen, if you'd like to meet Lisa, probably just Lisa, not the pets, you can do so at Dan Bradbury's Success Mastermind coming up June 21st and 22nd in Warwick. But listen, not only will she be there, but we got some other special guests as well. Namely, two special guests I can think of. Nigel Shanahan on Simon Inchley. Nigel successfully scaled and grew his business with a high eight-figure exit. And Simon was the founder of Gresham LLP, a private equity firm that was responsible for over $750 million in assets. He also was able to scale and grow with an exit in the high eight figures as well. They're going to be there to share with you how they did that as well. So not only are you going to meet some incredible entrepreneurs competing for the Ultimate Entrepreneur competition, but you're also going to be able to meet Simon and Nigel as well. So having said that, I hope to see you June 21st and 22nd at the Ultimate Entrepreneur Competition inside Dan Bradbury's Success Mastermind. Until then, let's all try a little harder to be a little better. Thanks. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. three things you need to do now. Number one, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you do not miss an episode. Also, get on over to Amazon to get a copy of my latest book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, 9.5 Steps to Improving Your Profits and Cash Flow. Also, join our Facebook group, the Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity community, to connect with other business owners.